Hello and welcome to The Specialist. I'm your host, Rob Barnard, and for this, the final episode of our fourth series, we're going to try something completely different. We're coming to you live. Well, okay, not really live, but we're recording it live, if you get my drift, from MAE in London, in front of a live studio audience. Well, again, that's not factually true. There's actually three asleep on the front row and the cleaners are running the Hoover round, but that's the beauty of a podcast. You'll never actually know. For today's episode, I'm delighted to be joined by three business leaders that have been around for many years, and we'll be discussing in these challenging times of stress and long hours the importance of business balance. During the next half hour, we'll be exploring the many hats our business owners have to wear and the many plates they have to keep spinning to remain competitive and to achieve their goals. We'll be looking to unpick just what's needed in the current climate to meet targets and carve out a path to success, and to discover how to become more confident, productive and balanced in your professional and indeed your personal life. Together with our panellists, we'll simply help you be more you. With that in mind, I'd be grateful if you'd give a great specialist welcome to Liz Sims, Andy Shield and Alex Hammond. I'll pay you later. Liz is Chief Executive at Connect for Intermediaries and Connect Mortgages, probably one of the fastest growing mortgage networks in the UK. Andy's Director and Co-Founder and, in his own words, the creative genius at Barcadia Media Limited. Which has publications like Financial Reporter as well as Property and Protection Reporter in the stable, and also helps bring you events like today's MAE. And last but not least, Alex is PR Director at Square One Media Limited, Managing Director of Also Communications, working with many of the leading names in the mortgage industry, and would you believe it, often responsible for making me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Welcome, everyone.
Hi. Hello.
Thank you, Rob.
Delighted you're here. So come on, without no more ado, let's get this show on the road. So, Liz, I'm going to come to you first.
Okay.
As my sort of intro suggested, to maintain a competitive edge, senior business leaders like yourself have to wear so many hats. I mean, what can they be? Strategy, personnel, compliance, finance, technology. I could go on and on. And all whilst being aware of the wider macro implications of your business. Which hat has been the most challenging for you in recent times? And it's all been challenging in the last sort of 18 months, hasn't it?
It absolutely has all been challenging. And I think one of the things when you're in a market that is a bit of a downward market is the strategy on how you still try and grow your business while everything around you is going down. So that was probably one of the key things. And in the mortgage market, when you're giving mortgage advice, you might think, okay, well, I'll take on some more advisors, but it's not a quick win. That's more of a long-term strategy, because if I take on a new advisor today, it's probably going to be 6 months before they're actually starting to write more business. So that doesn't help. So we had to concentrate really on, you know, how can we support advisors with more knowledge, perhaps so they could take advantage of specialist markets, you know, maybe bridging, things like that are quicker to go through, second charges. And we also did quite a bit of focus on protection. And that actually went hand in hand with one of the other big challenges, of course, which was consumer duty. But you can get me talking a lot more about that later if you really want to.
We want to engage the audience and keep them here, Liz, so we might give that a swerve. But it's all challenging, isn't it? And it's great that you touch on the specialist market, because that's something akin to my heart. Yeah. So when I describe Connect as one of the leading and fastest growing networks, I think specialist is right at the heart of what you do.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that more and more advisors are actually, you know, waking up to the fact that actually a lot more of their clients than they originally thought need specialist mortgages. And, you know, there's a lot that they can learn and understand about those mortgages to really help even more customers. And so that's what we've been focusing on, is that kind of education piece for that.
Education's key. Absolutely. So much available on websites, events like this, podcast series. Please have a listen, because they're all very, very educational. Andy, going to come to you. I mean, you've had challenging times of late, haven't you, mate? I mean,
and
for those that don't know, Andy's had a baby in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
She's 3 weeks old today.
3 weeks old. Just no, don't want to put you off here, but my daughter's 27 and she's just sleeping through, so you'll be absolutely fine. So which have you found most difficult, which hat have you most challenging?
I think, just to echo what Liz said, I think the thing that's most challenging as a business owner is having a strategy and sticking to that strategy, especially in tumultuous times such as this, where you know you some of those macro decisions that you make in your business can affect your business, the people that work in your business, and it can be quite daunting. It can be quite a lonely place as a business owner to sort of make those big decisions. I think that's certainly something that is important for me and our business, is having a clear strategy, trying to stick to it and not kind of being diverging too far away from that too often. I think that's key, yeah.
And I think the key thing is, for all of you as business leaders, you've all worked in your businesses for that long. Sometimes you have to remove yourself so you can look at your business from outside.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
That's
what it appeals like. And Alex, you've literally been both sides of the fence, haven't you? You've been lender, long career in lending, and also now you're self-employed.
And
so
a journalist.
Different hats. And a journalist.
Yeah, so I've worked across sort of 360 degree probably when it comes to the mortgage process, even on sort of the funding securitization side. It's weird. Liz's business is very different to ours. We're a PR and marketing company, but actually probably the challenges I think probably echoed quite similar, is that, you know, we constantly want to grow, you want to build your business, but it's a very specialist market, it's a very specialist skill set, and so the challenge there is the ability to recruit in the right way, where you keep that level of quality and specialism, but also can invest in growth for the future, and you know, you're building service, your pipeline. So it's certainly something that over the last couple of years, it's building a model that enables you to do that. And I think, you know, and Andy's right in terms, having a strategy is important, but you also need to be prepared to adapt it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stuff changes all the time. And you need to be, and I think all four directors at Square One, I think we're quite lucky in that we've all got a lot of experience, and we generally quite like each other and respect each other. and so sometimes it takes one or two of you to say, do you know, maybe we should do this a slightly different way. And I think being open-minded to how you adapt things and not being sort of too set in your ways is quite important as well.
I think adapting is absolute key, and I think you demonstrate it really well, to be fair, Alex. I mean, I read some of the stuff you put out for various people that you represent, and the beauty of it is, and a massive skill, is that when I read it, it sounds like the person that you've written it for, and I think that's a massive skill.
I still, when I write, if I were to write for you, I don't know if I've just spoiled the magic there. I have your voice in my head, your voice rings in my head.
Hello, welcome to The Specialist. I think it's brilliant. I'm going to come back to you, Andy, if I may. So what characteristics do you believe are essential to being successful in business?
Yeah, of course. It's going to sound a little bit like Alex was reading the answers to my questions. But I think the most important characteristics for us and for me over the last 15 years of doing this is being adaptive and being able to adapt to the market kind of situation. I mean, you look at an exhibition like this. It was only, gosh, a few years ago when we sat in front of Boris Johnson and he told us we couldn't go out and do events anymore. And Laura and I, with this business, we weren't sure whether we'd do an exhibition, when that would be. And overnight, our portfolio went from 50 events nationwide, educating mortgage brokers up and down the country, to nothing. And I remember being sat there in the office and you're like, right, we go again. What do we do now? So I become a webinar expert and I downloaded, like, everybody did Zoom, and all of a sudden our educational offering became online. So it was all of that was wild for everyone in this room, but I think being able to adapt and pivot and roll with the punches and be comfortable with, you know, with change when it comes, and react to it like positively, I guess.
Well, can I just say thanks for sticking at it? Because I hope I speak on behalf of many of the people that are in the audience today. We thrive on events like today. I mean, if you look at the hall downstairs where we've been this morning, we've been packed all day. You bring together so many key lenders, influencers, fringe providers that help streamline people's business. And am I right? Do people want this sort of event?
Yeah,
absolutely. So keep at it, mate. You're doing a cracking
Alex,
job.
Can you make sure you put that in whatever you write for Rob next, please?
Yeah,
that quote, thank you.
He wrote it. Liz, come on. What do you believe are essential in how you've been a success? And come on, you don't be shy. You're really successful in what you do.
I think for me, it's about having an understanding about all of the different elements of the business. So, you know, you could be a really, really good advisor, but you've also got to understand your numbers, how finance works, so that you can work out whether there's enough money left over at the end of the month to pay for some leads and do some marketing, you know. And then you've got to understand how marketing works, so you've then got to understand what the return on investment is. These are all completely different skills from being an advisor. And I think also the biggest one for me is managing people.
Oh.
You know, staff motivation, dealing with sickness, you know, dealing with managing and protecting your brand. You know, as you start to employ people, it's a big learning curve when you realize that some people don't do things exactly the way that you would do. So you need to put in place systems and processes for people to follow and for you to monitor and make sure you can grow in the right way that you want your brand to grow. So that's a big challenge.
It must be one of the biggest changes in life, mustn't it, when you're an entrepreneur, a business leader, that your big gear change, if you like, is putting food on your own table.
Yep.
To having to put food on your employees' table, and that must be a challenge.
It's a massive challenge, and you know, you as you're in business and you're working for yourself, so you know that you're not getting a paycheck unless you work, and then suddenly you've got to also supply everybody else's paychecks, you know, and then you think you're getting it right, and things like the credit crunch come along. And cause a few spanners in the works, and you've got to pick, do I pay my salaries or do I pay my mortgage? Then that's a difficult time.
But then credit crunch came and went, then Brexit and the uncertainty, then COVID. It's just one thing after another, isn't it?
Yeah. So it comes back to your point about being very adaptable.
We're a hardy bunch, aren't we, in the mortgage industry?
We've done it all. In a previous life, I always say.
But I guess picking up on that, though, what I would say as well is that it can be very challenging. There are so many worries, and it's not a 9-to-5 job. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. I would say one of the qualities that's really important is to find some fun in it as well. Coming back to this event, coming back to stuff like that. But it is, because otherwise stuff would get you down. Work would be too much. You need to find fun in what you're doing and who you're working with and find some element in that, because that's what keeps you going through, I think, and gives you the motivation, because you want to do good jobs for people because you enjoy working with them, that type of thing.
People say to me, when are you going to pack it up? When I stop enjoying it.
I think
that goes for a lot of us. Whilst we enjoy it, hopefully that comes across in everything we do, and the day that stops is the day we go. I mean, I remember, Alex, you made the big jump from employment with Kensington. I'm sure you were at Kensington.
I was at Kensington. I leapt in self-employment from Castle Trust.
Because I think I remember being on the interview panel for your first gig, which was Pepper.
I hadn't resigned actually at the time of pitching.
We had signed an NDA, I promise.
I think that's long enough ago now that I don't need to worry about
that. I remember that, and I must admit, thinking at the time, that is one heck of a bold move, isn't it? Going from a safe environment of a corporate to self-employment.
Yeah, do you know, it's funny, I spoke to my dad, I think the morning of going into that pitch, and he said, are you nervous about it? And I said, I'm nervous about getting it. Because that was the thing, that's like, I thought, well, if I get this, then I have to do that, so... that would say, and yeah, it's great. Oh, yeah, haven't looked back.
And that's probably 8 years or so ago, is it now? All I can say is, standout candidate. Never in doubt, mate.
You were. What do you think about the Rob?
He wrote that as well. but that's a big leap for me. Going from the sort of safety net of being provided with all your own costs, your pension contributions, and everything, to having to provide that for yourself, and then indeed for others. So let's come back again. So. As part of that, and I think you touched on it, Liz, so we'll delve a little bit further, you all have to make sacrifices. You've got to sometimes miss out on something yourself to make sure you're providing for other people. What would you say is the biggest sacrifice that you've had to make in your career?
I'm not entirely sure I would say sacrifice. I would say probably more compromise. And I think lots and lots of compromises throughout the time, whether it's, you know... do I put the kids to bed or do I finish, you know, making sure the salaries are paid? You know, in that case, my husband had to put the kids to bed, you know. I think it's just everything that you do, there's sort of ebbs and flows on what you're focusing on at any given time. So when my kids were younger, for example, I had the flexibility, which is great with self-employed, to work during the day while they were at school or at nursery. Then I would pick them up at 3:30. I would do the kind of tea, the baths, put them to bed. But then I had the energy at that time to then, you know, carry on working till about midnight. So that was the sort of flow that I had at that point. You know, now they're older and don't need me anymore, then I don't need to make that compromise anymore. I make different compromises and do different things.
And now you've got them doing the work, of course.
Now I've got them doing the work, absolutely.
I mean, I tell you what, I take my hat off to you all in self-employment and entrepreneurship, because it's not for everybody. As part of the credit crunch, I, like thousands and thousands of mortgage people, was displaced. So what did I think? Oh, you know, I'll become an advisor. And I did all the exams. I became an AR of a network. I won't tell you who. And I couldn't do it. And that's me being honest. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take to that working from 7 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock at night. It isn't for everybody. So I really take my hat off to you, and thank you for doing it.
I can't do it now. I'm fast asleep by 10 o'clock now.
Alex, what's the biggest obstacle you've sort of? What's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome?
I mean, most recently Paul Hunt, because he's sat behind a laptop. He's a guy. One of our directors has just had a knee replacement and is constantly on the phone to me because he keeps having ideas because he's not in meetings.
I'm amazed that Hunty still hasn't withdrawn from Gareth Southgate's plans to play in the Euros with a bionic knee, but yeah, I'm not sure.
You never know. Again, probably very, very similar to Lila. I think I am very much an all or nothing person. I throw myself into things, and I think the really exciting thing of when you start working for yourself is your ability to be successful and to earn is kind of limitless. You get it's a very direct relationship between what you get out of your investment in time and what you put into it. And the temptation then is just to keep going. And I think so it's probably a learning rather than an absolute challenge, but a learning of mine was just to put boundaries on myself in terms of looking after you. So yeah, there's a lot of talk about well-being and mental, but I kind of needed that. I need to make sure that I'll put something in my diary and go to the gym, and I will go to the gym. I won't just keep working through, because the temptation is just to keep going, because it's good. Yes, I'm working for our business. Keep going. You'll burn out if you do that.
But you stick to it. Do you stick to that? So when you get to sort of 1 o'clock and you can see well-being in your diary, do you stick to it?
I've got better at it, and so I'm still not great at it, but I do. So I'll go to a gym class, right? So I know that I have to go for that particular time to make the class, and then I've got friends there, so it's kind of a social thing. So it kind of keeps you honest in that respect. But no, there are many nights where I find myself working on the sofa because I haven't done as much as I would have liked to that day. When probably you could restructure stuff. So I guess it's not a binary thing if you're either good at it or you're bad at it. I think I'm getting better at it, but very aware that, you know, and also if you're, especially if you work in our industry, and it probably, you know, it's similar, but we're all in service industries, aren't we? If you're tired, and the people you are providing a service to, you know, pick up on that or feel that, then that's going to damage your business. So actually, kind of investing in those boundaries and kind of in yourself a little bit.
Leading by example.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
It's something we advocate for hugely at Barcadia with our staff is, you know, always make sure you take your lunch hour away from your desk. Always make sure you know, go for a walk if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed or stressed in a moment, or certainly in a creative space where sometimes you do need to walk away to come back to do the task at hand better. So
I mean, I did something a little bit similar, like one-to-ones. One-to-ones can be a chore, but they're really important. During sort of lockdown, I insisted on doing them on the phone, not on Zoom. So effectively, I could go for a walk around the block, even have the dog with me, just to get you out. And just one point to your point, Alex, about the gym. I put an hour in my diary most days, gym. Paul Adams laughs at me, but I call my garden the green gym, because that's where I go and switch off. I grow big veg, and I love it. That's my little bit of connection, me and horticulture. But it doesn't have to be.
It's my green gym. Exactly. Whatever works for you. Definitely. It takes you out of that space. And I think for me, so the gym works because you go and you get sweaty, and you're in a very different physical and mental space for an hour of the day. If I were just to go and read a book, it's probably quite a similar
environment. You want to try digging, mate. You can work up
a sweat. The size of your vegetables, Roy, I guess that would be...
That will end up on the editing room floor, that bit, mate, would it? Liz, do you do the gym?
Sometimes.
Very good.
Not as often as I should. I think picking up some of the points in terms of work-life balance, when you absolutely love what you do, you don't feel like you're out of balance. That's part of the problem. But one of the things that, you know, I have found more recently, as I have been trying to get more healthy, go to the gym, lose a bit of weight, do the things that I should be, I find that actually I've got more energy and I can do more work. So it's brilliant. It works.
That's brilliant. I mean, work-life balance, guys, I think is something we all really need to look at. I mean, Andy, what do you think are the biggest obstacles to you achieving, well, apart from two under two, what do you think are the biggest obstacles in a BAU environment for you achieving a really good work-life balance?
The hardest thing is obviously switching off. Alex touched on it then. I'm the world's worst for it. Is you complete your day, you get home, you put the horrors to bed, and you sit down for your dinner.
It doesn't get better.
And then it's just that temptation to sit. You're sat down. You're doing whatever you're doing in your evening, and you're like, I'll just check that email. I'll just do that bit. And just to touch on what Liz said, it's challenging because if you love what you do, you're passionate about what you do. So actually, I come from a creative background, so I have a lot of, I'm the creative director for our businesses. I'm involved in the look and feel and the brand of everything that we do. I love it. It's what I studied at university. It's what gets me out of bed in the morning. So at 8 o'clock at night, if I'm sat on the sofa with my partner and we're relaxing, I want to kind of like, yeah, I want to go and finish that, you know, that idea, that creative thing. Is it healthy? It's difficult to say, isn't it? Because I'm passionate about it, I enjoy it, but I'm not switching off, and it's potentially is invoking more stress in me or whatever, however it might manifest for the following day. So I think the biggest challenge is certainly the way technology now is just how accessible a phone is with your emails on it, with your teams on it. And I've actually taken steps to kind of, there's loads of really good technology. There's an application called Opal. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It literally blocks all those applications between certain times of the day.
Yep.
And it's, you know, you can still override it and bypass it, but it's really good signposting because you go to go on LinkedIn or go to check your emails and it goes, no, it's 6 o'clock, stop. So.
And we've had spells when I've worked at previous lenders where there's been a rule at the week, no emails this weekend. This can't go out until 8 o'clock on Monday morning because it'll still be there.
Yes, I'm forever telling our marketing manager's not actually in the room right now, but I'm forever telling him and our rents manager off emailing me at a weekend because they should be relaxing.
And I'll just qualify that. They're only not in the room because there's no spaces. Every seat is full this afternoon. Thank you. Obstacles, come on, Alex. What stops you from that great work-life balance?
From achieving work-life balance? I think it is. It's kind of ties into to what Andy said and what we were saying previously. Just if you are passionate about it and you want to do well and you feel, and also what Liz said as well, if you feel that I'm going to keep doing this, I'll keep doing it, put more and more into it, that's the obstacle because it's the drive to get to where you want to get to and to put the service in that you want to sort of deliver to people. But I agree with you very much that actually carving time out actually energizes you rather than depletes you. The number of times when I've got to the end of the day and I thought I'm so exhausted, I can't, but I do go for a walk or something or do something physical, and you realise you're mentally exhausted rather than physically exhausted,
yeah,
and you come back to it and you think, I can think about stuff again now. Whereas my brain just needed to be empty for an hour.
And we're all in the more creative side of business, aren't we, in one way or another? And if that's sapping your energy, you need to have that boost to get the energy.
Absolutely.
Obstacles for you, Liz, what stops you? And I think, I don't know, I think lockdown has a lot to answer for because I think we all got used to working at home. How many times do you walk through the office or past the office door on the night when you nip upstairs and you go in? So is that an obstacle to you? I know you have an office where you work out of, but what other obstacles have you found that stop you making sure that you're at your best both at home and at work?
I think it's totally about ourselves. We put our own obstacles in the way, like, oh, you know, well, there's this deadline, I've got to get it done, you know, it won't wait, I need to get this launched, you know, I'm putting my own obstacles in the way. So I've spent a lot of time recently scheduling, and not just scheduling me time, but also scheduling more focused time on what I want to do. So thinking about what is it that I want to achieve, and how am I going to achieve it? And then scheduling kind of time to do certain elements of it. So now my diary has some time when I'm working on finance, some time when I'm working on marketing, some time when I'm working on the people. And then I've been able to put in there, right, some time when I'm going to the gym. And, you know, I actually went on holiday a couple of weeks ago, and I think I looked at my emails 3 times in about 8 days. I mean, that's unknown for me.
But that's brilliant. But didn't I see, or a little bird told me, did you not propel yourself from great heights?
I did.
Did you lose your balance? Is that what it was?
No, I kind of did that voluntarily.
How high?
7,000 feet or something. Yeah, it was mega. And that was just like, it was that feel the fear and do it anyway moment. So
for people that aren't
familiar. My phone didn't have any service either at that point.
What was it you did just for people that aren't familiar?
It's like a bungee jump, but you sit and then you get pushed off the cliff edge and you drop for, I think it was 74 metres as a dead drop, and then you swing out 300 metres.
I'll leave that to you, and I'll Google it. That's as close but as I'll get to that.
It was, again, great to do something completely different, out of my comfort zone, and change mindset on lots of different things.
And I guarantee you'd be shaking like a proverbial when you were sat up there, but when you got to the bottom, I bet you wanted to do it again.
It was exhilarating. That's when I decided to then do the catapult as well.
Different world, absolutely different world.
Rock, I'll just pick up on the, because you remind me, on the thing about remote working, which actually, is that some people like working at home, some people don't like working at home. I don't like working. I need activity around me, I need a bit of a buzz, I need to feel as part
of
life. And that's been a massive change to my life, is that I found a shared workspace where I'd go in every day.
With like-minded people.
Like-minded, exactly that. And, you know, everyone who works there, there's some people who are self-employed. There are some people who work remotely for their business. No one is doing the same job. They all go there because they just wanted to be in an environment with other people and have a conversation with someone, you know, whilst they make a cup of tea and stuff like that. And that, in terms of your problems seem very big when you're on your own.
Isolated.
Very isolated. And when you're in a room with other people, suddenly everything seems a lot more manageable, and I think that's quite. I've taken that as a big learning.
And I totally agree. I mean, I'm not in our office very often, but when I come out of our office, having been there for a day, I've got a buzz because you've interacted with people. And I do think, Liz, interesting on this, we just digress slightly, but it's worth mentioning. I think from a lender's perspective, I think underwriting suffered a little bit by remote working. So whereas in a previous life, you'd got a room full of underwriters where they'd simply turn to them and say, what do you think about this? Working remotely with no one to ask, another checklist item might go on, and I think it maybe did set us back a little bit.
Well, we will probably all throughout our careers learn a lot of what we know by osmosis, I think, just by being around the environment.
Totally.
And I think your fear kind of looking forward is kind of, where is that learning? Where are those skills going to come from? If people are, you don't just pick up the phone and ask 100 questions that you would have learned by osmosis. You just don't do that.
And to your bit about seeing people in the flesh, I mean, I'm lucky I get asked to do quite a bit of speaking and presentations and things like that. And then when they say, but it's virtual, you feel, oh, no. I'd rather be in a room where you can see people, smell people, you know what I mean, get under the skin of people. But you also know when you're presenting in a room like this, most of you are nodding, and I don't mean asleep, which is encouraging. Whereas if you've got a room full of people in a virtual world, half of the cameras aren't on, you know, there's a good chance that half of them are submitting dips to Halifax, Nationwide, and whoever else. You've not got
How
their attention.
They? How dare they?
How dare they? But I think that's really important. Andy, come to you. Looking forward a little bit, and I'm not after the lottery numbers, but looking into the future, what would you say brokers and business owners should embrace if they're not already doing to sort of retain business balance?
Yeah, I think it's an obvious one. I think it's probably been touched on lots throughout today's event. But embrace technology and try not to be too overwhelmed with the different technologies that are out there. There's so many different types of softwares and routes and options out there. It can be quite I work in a tech-based business. It can be overwhelming even for us with everything that's in the press at the moment about things like AI and how to harness the power of AI and things like that. Pick your battles, but embrace it and just roll with it. There's tons and tons of excellent educational content out there. Platforms like HubSpot are doing really, really great stuff. They're doing LinkedIn webinar sessions that are between 30 and 45 minutes long with really, really great speakers, introducing at very bottom level in how you can adapt AI gently into your business. And that can be as simple as incorporating. You can now incorporate tools into your email software that helps you write the responses. So if you're not particularly great at talking to people on email, there's now software that you can implement that'll help you write those emails, and will even give you feedback on the tone, or you might want to consider this, you might want to consider that. So yeah, I think embrace it. It's super daunting. There's so much different, certainly in a creative background as well, there's so many different avenues and routes that you can take with things like AI and technology, but pick your battles, but certainly embrace it.
AI frightens me. I've only just sussed what the cloud is. And now we've got AI.
I think we've all seen Terminator, right? The film. I think we're.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah, I think for me it's about we're talking about doing what you love. So if you're going into business for yourself and you suddenly find yourself doing all of these different things in your business that perhaps you don't love all of them, perhaps you're not very good at all of them, you have to still embrace that and learn about it. As a mortgage advisor, you'll learn about different products, you'll learn about different systems and so on and so forth. If you're having a business, you've also got to learn about all the different aspects of business. And when you learn and understand them to a really good level and invest time in yourself and your own personal growth and development, and then you still think, I still don't like this or enjoy this, you've then got the knowledge to be able to hand that off to somebody else whilst still being able to monitor and direct them in the way that you want to. So you don't have to do everything, but you do need to still have enough knowledge about all the different aspects.
Definitely.
So my biggest thing is invest in yourself, invest in growth and knowledge of a business, and using all the tools and things that Andy has mentioned, it will pay absolute dividends.
Brilliant. I'm going to come to the final question, would you believe? So we'll start with Andy and then move down, give everyone a final chance. If you had to do it all over again, and you decided, I want to, what advice would you give to yourself, or indeed to brokers, about to embark on creating a business?
I think just going a full 360 to the start of the conversation, I think have a really clear strategy and identity about what you want to be. If you were to be in a coffee shop or a bar and you overheard somebody talking about your business, what would you want to hear people saying about you? What's your true USP? Stick to that. Have a clear strategy about what that's going to be, because being entrepreneurial by definition and going into business, it can be very easy to be led like a magpie to the opportunities as they come in, and you can be sidetracked. And then going back to what Liz said about siloing bits of your day out for certain jobs, your task list and your opportunity list can be massive. So identify what that's going to be really, really good at that, and stick to that. That's certainly what I'd say to myself.
Brilliant.
I'd
Great.
Probably have a bit more hair if I'd have done that back in the day.
Great advice. Alex?
I think when Andy said being led like a magpie to the opportunities, that struck a chord, actually. And I think from the outset, when you go into something, you're quite driven by fear of not paying the bills. Or actually, even as you grow, you're driven by fear of not paying your employees' bills. And I would say I'd say to my previous self, I guess that's the construct, is to trust your instinct on some things. There are maybe some bits of work or something, where you say, do you know what? This isn't the direction we want to go in. This isn't something we want to do. And to trust your gut on those things, because they become a distraction, or they can become a distraction to where you are meant to go. Don't be motivated by fear, I guess, of not being paid. Be motivated by just doing, what's the thing? It's like I chase, don't attract, or something. And I attract, I don't know, I just got that wrong, so I got it completely wrong. Anyway, it's about some motivational thing. Anyway, but yeah, motivated by just doing a good job rather than where's the next paycheck coming from.
Brilliant. And Liz, you've got the last word.
Okay. I would recommend getting in the proximity of the people that you want to emulate. The people that you want to grow and develop and be like. When I was sat on the bus going up the Nevis Cliff, I was sat next to a very young chap who was really joyous about doing this. I was convinced I wasn't, but sat next to him, I got convinced I could do it.
Brilliant.
And believe in yourself, you can do it. And go big, go a lot bigger than you think you can, because 25 years ago, I didn't think I'd be sat here, but I could have done it in 10 years if I thought a lot bigger, so go big.
You and indeed all of the panellists should be really proud of what you've done. You're all leading figures in the industry, and thanks for being part of it. Time really does fly when you're having fun, and sadly the clock has now beaten us. Thanks so much to Liz, Andy and Alex for taking time out of their packed schedules to talk with me this afternoon. It's been great to get to know just a little bit more about you, and to find out how you manage to juggle so many balls both at home and in the office. It's undoubtedly a challenge balancing a busy work life with an often frantic home life, and sometimes you have to make difficult decisions to keep everything on track. Do you know what? Saying no is sometimes the right thing to do. Having a close circle of friends can be a great sounding board to help you make right decisions, and making those tough calls can often be the way to help you fulfil your professional and indeed personal ambitions that will undoubtedly make you be more confident, be more productive, but most of all, to be more you. Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen.